Welcome to the Daily Dental Podcast. I'm Dr. Addison Killeen, and each day I will give you one insight on how you can optimize your practice using the methods that have helped me grow to a multi-million dollar business while maintaining a balanced and healthy personal life. Hey everyone, this is Dr. Addison Killeen here with another weekend episode. Today I thought I would bring on one of my good friends, Mr. Dan Parsons. Dan is a career professional relations or PR person. He's been doing this in the business over 20 years. He is what some people might call a fixer, but he's a lifelong journalist, journalism school here in Nebraska. And nowadays he also hosts a weekday radio show here in Lincoln, where he talks to news influencers, politicians, and everything. So Dan, welcome to the show.
Addison, thank you very much. This is a little different for me being on the other side of the microphone.
You don't have to ask the questions or anything. So, well, tell me a little bit about, you know, what you've been doing the last few years in the world of PR.
Yeah. So I tell people, Addison, that public relations is, you know, for me, I boil it down to some pretty simple terms. I tell people, in the digital age, I help people get on or off Twitter, right? Or on or off X, as it's called now. Back in the day of when I first started, that term would be public relations helps people tell stories, and in a crisis mode, helps people get on or off the front page of the paper, right? So, yeah, my business is the joy of helping people tell their stories.
Okay, cool. And so, you know, obviously in political years, it probably tends more to be politicians, and in other years, it's just projects and causes and people, right?
Yeah, correct. You know, I worked prior to starting my PR firm, which, as you noted, is my 20th year of my business. Prior to that, I probably spent another 10 years in a similar capacity, but I worked in state government, federal government, association work, but did the same thing that I'm doing now for my clients. And that is, like I said, helping people tell their stories, helping people get on or off the front page of the paper. But yeah, and we've seen in that 30-year time span, a lot of changes. And first of all, a lot of changes in journalism, the people that we rely on to tell those stories. And, you know, just our culture has changed a lot in those 30 years.
Yeah. So now, you know, when I talk to dentists, you know, often they think about marketing and how do we get new patients, but your work seems to more like lay the groundwork for a brand and a name recognition. So when you like look at a politician, how do you think about branding a politician, and how could you then kind of relay that over to someone in a dental field where they're like, well, how do I lay my brand work for my dental practice in town?
Yeah, some similarities, but a lot of differences as well. You know, with a political campaign, you know when it's going to end as far as that campaign. And for a business, you know, it's an ongoing effort. And so there's some differences in how you approach that, because in a political campaign, you know when it starts and you know when it's going to end. And so it's a little more condensed in trying to tell that story. Whereas a business, it's, you know, hopefully for the long term, right? You're doing things in a business world that is a little different than the political world. And the other difference is in just, I think, political as opposed to other forms of public relations. You are telling a story, but you have someone opposing you to tell mm-hmm. that story. Now, in the business world, unless we, you know, get crossways and have a crisis, we have competition, obviously, in business, but we don't necessarily have someone purposely trying to tell a story that is detrimental to us, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
True. So, sometimes when you work with politicians, you have to go into crisis mode, obviously. So what have you seen in your past years that you can actually publicly talk about? Or have you, you've obviously are a student of the crisis, you know, happenings, because you have to work with clients through these things. So can you give us an example of when you do have someone trying to spin a story, and your client is saying, hey, let's keep my name out of this?
Yeah. And it obviously varies from client to client and situation to situation. You know, in the past handful of years, Addison, I've probably handled more crisis communication clients than I have in the previous 15. And you think about our culture, you think about what's happened in the last handful of years. You know, we had a worldwide pandemic and a lot of difficulty in implementing medical professionals telling us how to handle this, and the whole mask mandate thing. And a lot of people didn't agree with that. And so we had that whole mess that really took over the culture and made a lot of really difficult situations for businesses, politicians, and others in the culture. So that was one area of public relations that we dealt with. Secondly, you think of just the political turmoil we've had in the past 5, 6, 7 years. Really splitting the country, splitting families, people having difficulty even getting together at holiday gatherings because the family's been split. And so I've dealt with those issues in the past handful of years. And also we had cultural and ethnic and race relations that led to riots and really a turmoil in our culture. And so I dealt with that from a business standpoint. There was one business here in Nebraska, and the difficulty with this, Addison, is most of these clients, I've signed non-disclosure agreements, so I can't talk specifically about some of these examples. But there was a retail business based here in Nebraska that got in trouble trying to navigate Black Lives Matter and trying to navigate down the middle and not necessarily be involved in that cultural upheaval of race relations. And they didn't do it very well. I keep joking that, and I know you've written several books, I keep joking, and I think it's actually going to go from a joke to actually seriously thinking about it. And that is writing the book, They Called Me a Day Late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because typically in these crisis situations, first of all, whether you're a business person, a political leader, none of us necessarily expect that we're going to be faced with a crisis. And so we don't necessarily plan. But eventually, there's probably something that's going to face us that's going to be a difficulty, and it's going to become public, and we're going to have to deal with it. So anyway, a lot of those crisis communication clients try to manage it themselves or try to deny that it's happening. And the next thing you know, it's spun out of control. And then they decide, oh, maybe I need a professional. You know, it's kind of like in the dental world, I assume, when someone has a pain in their mouth and they wait too long to call you.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Well, and that kind of, it does remind me, there was a time about 6 or 7 years ago that a dentist was a hunter, and that was their passion and their hobby. And they went over to Africa, and I think they hunted an elephant, and it was legal, and it was what happens a lot. But they posted a picture on social media, and I think it was with their family, and it just happened to be a dentist, and it caused a social upheaval where they made it onto the news and so forth. And I don't think they handled it well because they essentially had to shut down their dental practice.
Wow.
Now, when you see something like that, if they're probably going to call you a day late, but when you have something like that, which is a really negative thing that could hurt a business owner or dentist, yeah, what would you be your route of thinking and coaching them through this situation?
Well, first of all, again, you called me a day late. I mean, if you are a professional, I don't care what industry you're in this day and age of really social media and being able to communicate via social media and knowing that there's a population of people out there that are just looking for those opportunities to punch you in the mouth. for something that you post on social media. So that's the first place you start with is, okay, looking back, what is your marketing plan, your public relations plan to communicate with people and knowing that there is really no separation from your personal life and your private life to your public life as a business owner or someone in the public spotlight. So that's the first thing to consider. But okay, you maybe didn't think that through too well, this person, and didn't recognize that there are people on the internet looking for those opportunities to be critical of someone. And in this case, hunting a majestic animal and killing it, even though it was legal, and then posting it and on social media. So how do you handle that? First of all, you have to contain the damage. So if that post is going viral, you have to decide, okay, am I going to just delete this and take this down? Or am I going to try to engage with people and try to tell my side of the story? And again, that's from a professional standpoint, that's a judgment call. But a lot of times in those situations, if you can just take the vitriol and the hate and the anger offline, and let's say that it's just starting and people are starting to be critical, try to have those conversations offline to say, hey, if you disagree with this, this is not the space to have this conversation. I'd be happy to discuss this. Let's take it offline. It's probably not going to be very successful necessarily at that point if it's going to go viral and really catch on. But that is one tactic that we use is let's get this conversation off the public airwaves and bring it into a more personal conversation.
Okay, cool. Well, on the flip side, you know, when you're developing a brand or trying to get your name out in the community, sometimes you actually want to try to make it onto, you know, the 5 o'clock news or get onto a radio show. Or, you know, it's a big business trying to figure out what makes a social post go viral.
Yeah.
So in people that engage your services that are trying to get onto, you know, television, radio, or making really good social posts, let's start with social posts. What dictates, are there any like rules or tips and tricks that people could do to make, you know, because the general dental post is really tough to get it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think for most of us, you know, and I've learned this in my daily radio show, as you noted, I bring on thought leaders, business leaders, politicians, and instead of the interviews that I do of just, yeah, tell us what's the hot issue of the day and what you're dealing with and, you know, the bread and butter of what you do for a living or in your daily life here in our community. I think for a lot of people, to make that more interesting, well, let's find out more about you as a person. What's your favorite restaurant? What did you do for vacation last year? What are some hobbies that you enjoy that maybe can connect with the public and your audience a little deeper than just telling the story of what you do for a living? And it makes it more personal. It brings the audience in and it ties that bond between the audience and the person that you're trying to promote.
And that could be in a lot more real sense. It doesn't have to be highly polished or planned, you know, or it could be real life spur of the moment stuff, right?
Yeah. A lot of people in recent years, especially with the advent of, we all have a really high powered video, high quality video and camera in our pockets. And a lot of us can just, set it up and shoot videos and photography of our daily life of what we're doing and transfer that onto the social media platform. And again, it's more real. It doesn't have to be polished. It doesn't have to, you don't have to hire a high priced video photographer, a videographer or photographer to get some of that. There's a place for that as well, but yes, making it more genuine and real so people can relate to it.
Yeah. Okay. And then when you, when you work with, you have a lot of contacts with TV and radio folks. When you try to get your clients onto those platforms, you know, let's say a dentist is wanting to do a free giveaway day for veterans or something. What is the normal communication method that allows you to kind of get into those clubs per se?
Yeah.
How do you get those clients on there?
Well, a lot of it is relationships. You know, even though there's the whole journalism industry has really changed a lot in the past, you know, 5-10 years, and there's less experienced journalists in every medium, whether it's print or broadcast, TV, radio, whatever it is. There's less continuity and longevity in some of those reporters. So that's a challenge. But for me, one of the reasons that our clients hire us is because of relationships over 20 years that I have. I can pick up the phone and talk to the editor of the North Platte Telegraph. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, call the television station and talk to the assignment editor. And so we have a relationship, and they know that there's a level of trust that I'm not going to just be pitching garbage to them, the stuff that I know their readers, viewers, or listeners are interested in. And so that's one tactic we use, is just maintaining those relationships. And second of all, really helping the journalist do their job, and just having a sense of, I appreciate what you do, I understand what you do, and you're telling these stories to your listeners, viewers, or readers, and having a sense of what that is that's important to not only the news organization, but having an understanding of what their listeners, viewers, or readers really want.
Okay. So making it easy for them, is that more like if you're trying to get onto a television or newspaper, would that be sending like a press release type thing?
Yeah, often we do. Often it's just as simple. We just call it a pitch. Maybe it's a, you know, it can be a news. It can be a full blown news release. But maybe you start that with a text or an email or even a phone call to say, hey, I've got client. I've got this individual that's telling this story. And here's the synopsis of that in two or three sentences of why I think it may be of interest to your listeners, viewers, or readers. And then if you get a bite and they say, yeah, I think that may be interesting. Okay, well, here's a full news release that kind of talks about the full issue, gives some quotes. And then again, depending on the medium, if it's print, you know, they don't probably need a voice or a picture. They just need the words. And if it's radio or television, obviously, if it's television, they're in the business of telling stories by moving pictures, by video. And then with radio, it's the audio version. And so that's the other thing. When you're pitching these stories, you have to be able to have that understanding from your client of what's your schedule. You can't just blast something out and, okay, wow, we've got the 6 o'clock news. We'd like to do an interview. Well, I'm on vacation this week. I can't do that. So, yeah. So some of it is timing. But again, understanding what they need and helping deliver that to them.
Now, on their side of the table, then they get these pitches that come across. Are they evaluating it based on their target demographics, or what moves them to want to say, ooh, I will take your story?
A lot of it is just simply timing. I still, after all these years, Addison, when I have a news conference, and we don't do a lot of news conferences for clients, and there's reasons to do a news conference and there's reasons not to do a news conference. But let's say for client X, we're making a big announcement and we're going to do a news conference and invite the news media to come to us. Some of it is just pure timing. I still have anxiety when I do those news conferences. I've been doing it for many decades now, of is anybody going to show up? And the danger is they're interested in the story and they want to cover it, but then there's a big story that knocks us out of that loop. And so some of it is just timing on the part of the news media, whether they're having a slow news day and they're looking for opportunities for a story. And then, yes, understanding their audience, you're not going to pitch. I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but yeah, something that is just out of. So understanding what that news organization caters to, who their audience is, and the stories that they would be interested in.
Now, it seems like news these days, sometimes we have a general thought that, oh, they're only looking for negative news stories. Yeah. And then sometimes, though, you have certain reporters or television personalities who are looking for the positive news stories. Over the past decades, have you seen that shift more negatively or positively?
Well, here's what's happened with the advent of digital journalism over the past, you know, let's say 10 years. Everybody's a journalist. Everybody has the opportunity to tell their story. And some of those are professionals and some aren't. But with the advent of digital journalism, there are more opportunities to tell more stories. You know, let's take our local newspaper here in the city, the Lincoln Journal-Star. They not only have the traditional written stories, but they now supplement that with video. They have podcasts that they do, especially with sports. And so they've been able to expand their audience and expand the people that they're reaching because of technology. And so they've merged into more of a multimedia, not just a, we're going to deliver this dead tree newspaper on your front step and hope that you read it and read the ads and purchase something. And so that's an example of journalism, how it's changed, that there is more space for more stories that don't just, that's not just the negative.
Okay. Interesting. Now, I kind of want to wrap up by asking, when people are looking for a PR person, you know, sometimes it's a day late, but if you're proactive and you're saying, well, I want to get this new, I'm doing a new build out, or I'm doing some new marketing in a new, tangential to my dental practice, how do you evaluate a good PR firm, or how do you evaluate what to look for in a person that's going to help you do this?
Yeah, it's a great question, Addison. And, you know, the first thing, I think, like a lot of businesses, it's trust. Is this someone that, you know, just popped up and is getting started and doesn't have a lot of experience? You know, maybe they're more affordable, but, you know, what's the outcome that you're going to get? So I think it's having a connection with that person, being able to have a level of trust. And, you know, and a lot of the ad agencies have a public relations division or somebody that's devoted to that, because in the ad world, you've got earned media, which is what I do. You have to earn it. And then there's paid media. You know, anyone can come in and plop down money to buy an ad in you know, whether it's online or in the newspaper or on television or radio. Anyone can do that, long as it fits the boundaries of the standards of that news organization. But in order to get earned media, you have to tell a story that is of interest, because you're not paying for it. You are earning that. And it's more valuable because you're not paying for it. From the public's perspective, they can discern the difference between a paid ad and a news story. So that news story is much more valuable than a paid story or a paid advertisement, because you've gained the trust of that news organization. And they think it's something that their audience should know. Did I answer that question at all, or did I off on a tangent?
Well, it's you see that in the newspaper. You know, sometimes it looks very similar, but if there's a box around it and it says paid advertisement in small print. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, okay, this pain medication, whatever. I'm not in that demographic category, and it says paid advertisement, that's not applicable.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So no, there is, that's the value of what we do as public relations professionals, is we are delivering a story and something that is of more value because we didn't pay for it. Now, someone maybe paid the professional to place those stories, but from the news media's perspective, and I think the public in general, they can discern between a paid advertisement and something that is newsworthy, that this news organization thought was of import.
Yeah, Totally. Well, yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show today and kind of giving us a little bit, because I think for most of us dentists, we just don't see inside your world. And yeah, I'm lucky that you and I have an office in the same building.
It's fun.
So, I appreciate you coming on today. Hope you have a great rest of the day and that no crises attack your weekend.
So, thanks, Addison. Thank you. Appreciate it.
For more information about this topic, as well as any others, check us out at www.dentalsuccessnetwork.com or connect with me at addisonkilian.com. Have a great day.